From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, glad you're along with us. Jaguars Today kicks off here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. We will hear from Gus Bradley. Were you able to reach out to D-Rock?
Yeah, he's coming in at 11:15 today.
All right, well, there you go. Everyone's, are you going to talk about Allen Robinson's comments? Tony was in the locker room yesterday, and as you know, you can probably figure out with the laws of physics and all that, you can't be in two places at one time. At least Tony's not capable of it.
No, and I was actually over talking to A.J. Cann, I think, at the time, probably when Mike was talking to A-Rob.
Right, and A-Rob talked about, you know, first of all, you know, the team talked about their belief in Blake Bortles yesterday, but the money quote from Allen Robinson, and I'm paraphrasing here, here it is. When you hear the atmosphere of when we step out on the field, when we go to punt or before halftime, when Blake takes a knee and you hear the booing, it's kind of funny to me. It's funny that we get our best home field advantage when we go to Wembley. All right, that, and that's the main part that people are focusing in on. Once again, criticism of the team for being criticized by the fans is how it's coming across. And you had it with Telvin Smith a few weeks ago. This is Allen Robinson, clearly frustrated, but it's what happens when you don't perform. I mean, you know, you don't. I don't know what. You know, this is professional sports. To me, Tony, this is completely acceptable behavior. Booing, the Jag fans have been so patient over the years. Go to almost any market outside of Jacksonville, almost any franchise, if they consistently played as poorly as this team has with the winning percentage that this team has over the last 4 to 5 years, in any sport, the fan base would be booing them if they played sloppy, error-filled football. That's just the facts of life in professional sports.
Look, there were Green Bay fans booing the Packers 2 weeks ago.
Right, they didn't like it, but that's a reality.
Right. That's Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and the success they've seen that football team have. There were fans that were fed up enough in four games that they were willing to boo that team. This is a fan base that is dealing with a lot right now, and we've talked about a decade of it piling up. But if you don't want to talk about the first 6 years, that's fine. So they're dealing with 4 years of this. Right, and this was supposed to be the year where you get it turned around. I can tell you, being the Jaguars reporter for the station for just the last 3 weeks, the tension that was in that room yesterday compared to the last 2 weeks was crazy. And, you know, you could feel it after they got booed in that last home game and a lot of fans saying it's a good thing they're going to London this week, basically, after what Telvin Smith had to say, because he'd really hear it that week if they were coming out of the tunnel. Well, they win back-to-back games, so some of that goes away. But anyone who thought that the fans thought everything was fixed because they beat Indianapolis and Chicago the way they did and that they weren't ready to boo, especially this offense, with the way that it has played to this point in 2016, I mean, you're deluding yourself. Everyone knew that was going to be part of it this week if they didn't perform. And guess what? Allen, Blake, all of you, you didn't perform. And the fans are just letting you know that we expect more out of you. We know that you expect more out of yourselves. Deliver. And for guys in locker rooms to take shots at fans, I mean, I don't know how early in your career you ought to learn that lesson, but it's probably before you set foot in an NFL locker room. You don't talk about the fans except to say, you got our back, we got your back.
Or to say something beyond that, saying, hey, you know what, I'd boo me too, because we didn't play well enough, and we're going to get booed. If I played like that, I would have the same kind of reaction.
Right, which is what Blake said.
Whether you believe it or not, that's the only acceptable line. And if you want, look, I'll give him credit. Fine, you want to be honest about it, but people are being honest with their opinion. They're booing. It's not that they're abandoning you. In fact, they're the ones, the fans are the ones. Fans don't jump around. Fans aren't free agents every 4 years. They don't move around the National Football League. Fans typically have more loyalty to the franchise than the players do. Maybe not at the time they're playing, but long term, you know, when your career's over, a lot of Jag players have stayed here in Jacksonville, but a lot of them just go on to play for other franchises and have become known as a guy who maybe started his career here or had a cup of coffee here or whatever the case may be. Fans are fans, and they're typically fans for their lifetime.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, they've got more loyalty on average, I would think, than the players do to the franchise.
Sure, and
to the uniform.
It's a good reason to have D-Rock in, because look, sometimes when you read a quote, you don't get the sense or the emotion that was behind it, right? So it'll be good to have D-Rock in just to kind of talk to him about being in front of Allen Robinson when he had that to say. Look, a couple weeks ago, and it was Telvin Smith. Telvin was a guy that you can make an argument was playing the best football on the entire team, right? So if he wants to kind of go at it a little bit, at least he can look at himself and say, look, I'm doing what I need to do. I don't know why they're booing me, right? And I don't think that's what Telvin was saying, but you can at least understand a little bit of that with him. Allen's not playing very well. I mean, he's not playing very well. He had the drops this week. It's not the kind of week that you want to make a run at the fan base. I just, that these guys don't understand that. And look, if for Allen Robinson, if having that kind of attitude of nobody believes in me, they don't love me the way they need to, if that's the kind of attitude you need to go out there and catch 10 for 150 passes and say it every damn week, right? But then catch 10 for 150 and everyone will forget about that. It goes away, but you guys aren't performing well enough to take the shots like that.
All right, we'll get into that today. If you want to weigh in on the any comments that you've heard, we'll play some of the comments coming out of the locker room from yesterday. Roy Miller on injured reserve with a torn Achilles. We suspected that's where things were headed with Roy, so we wish him the best in his recovery and trying to get his career back on track, but the Jags have to go on. Obviously, without Roy Miller, it looks like Avery Jones likely is going to be the guy they'll rely on first and second down to man his spot, and we'll see from there. But today's question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, is this, with the loss of Roy Miller on our minds, who are the three players right now the Jags could least afford to lose and remain as competitive as possible? You know, we've had people already say, oh, they're already losing. Who cares? Doesn't matter who they lose. That's fine. You know, who are the three most critical players to their success based on the way they're playing right now at this point in time? Typically, if you'd asked this question, Tony, certainly in the offseason, Blake Bortles is top of the list. If you said one player, it's always going to be the quarterback. Right now, we don't know if the fan base feels 100% in that direction, so we'll take your feedback on that. We'll even try to look back a little bit on yesterday's question that we didn't get a lot to and some of the responses coming in as to what is the one thing that you try to fix, what is your best suggestion to get the offense going in the right direction. So we'll look at some of the feedback on that a little bit as well. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. Typically Tuesdays are a Check the Tape Tuesday. If you caught the show yesterday, you know Jeff Loggeman traveling today to go to the funeral of his friend Dennis Byrd, who passed away last week, the former New York Jets defensive lineman who was paralyzed and then was able to regain his ability to walk. After doctors told him he never would, he passed away in a two-car accident in Oklahoma last week. So Jeff is going to be back with us next week at his normal time. And so we'll take your calls today and talk Jaguar football with you here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. With that, Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL. All right, no Jeff Loggeman today, but we'll keep the candle burning, Tony, in the window for him to return a week from today. Of course, he'll be on the road with the broadcast team on Thursday night. Jags in Nashville to take on the Titans Thursday night football. Get right back out to it, which means with the short week, by the way, Malik Jackson typically on the midday chalk on Tuesdays. He's not ducking you, okay, because he got tossed from the game. He addressed that yesterday in the locker room. We'll hear from him coming up here momentarily. He's going to be practicing today. His primary job will take precedence there. I don't know about Telvin Smith later on this afternoon. Not sure about his availability on
I would doubt it.
That's but, what I would I mean, too, but I can't.
I mean,
I can't
they'll be off
sure.
the practice field, but I don't know with it being a short week, what kind of meetings or
right.
I mean, I don't know.
Right. Jack Del Rio says you need to be at home watching film.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Let's get a few calls in, and we'll get to Malik and Jalen Ramsey, both having some interesting things to say yesterday in the Jaguar locker room. Still to come, Gus Bradley, Mike DeRocco is going to join us in a little less than an hour from now. Talk about speaking with Allen Robinson yesterday, his comments about his frustrations and also hearing it from the fans. So you can weigh in a number of ways this morning. 641-1010 on the phone lines and the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Let's begin with Steve on the north side this morning. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Morning, fellas.
Hey,
I just kind of feel like the energy. Now, I know we're only 2-4, and we barely at the halfway point, just at the halfway point of the season, but I just feel like from things I see online, articles and stuff, it seems like it's push more on the players than Gus Bradley and the coaching staff. It, to me, it seems like a 70-30, almost 80-20 type deal. And I feel like that's kind of jacked up. I just feel like at this point, man, we on pace for the same old 5-6 win season. And a lot of this need to be pressed on Gus Bradley. I didn't trust him after last season. And I still look at it now, it's just like, this dude is not the guy. I mean, when I look at him on the sideline, I don't see a clipboard, not a laminated piece of sheet, nothing. He always hunched over looking like, okay, is this going to work? I hope this works. And not to take nothing from him, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's really trying to do his job. Not saying he's not, but it just looked like he's not the dude. He's not the guy. And I feel like a lot of people getting his personality mixed up with his coaching. Like, I see somebody like Adam Schefter, somebody write something and say, oh, he's such a nice guy. He's a good guy. And it's like, because of that, they feel like he can do this. I think you're mixing that up. I just don't see it.
All right. Hey, Steve, we appreciate the call. I think people acknowledge it because they truly believe that about Gus. You know, and that's the thing. If you've met Gus, and I think a lot of people, whether they've met him or not here in town, have kind of learned about him through the media and seen him and seen how he interacts with people. He's one of the most genuine people you ever want to meet. And so Gus doesn't have like an enemies list. And I think, you know what I mean? I think people want to make it clear that this is not a personal attack on the guy. And you can ignore that, though. The critiques about him as a football coach, I think, are fair. The record speaks for itself at this point in time. Maybe there's been a little bit more this year because Blake Bortles is not playing well, Tony. It'd be one thing if you looked and the offense was putting up some gaudy numbers again and they just were finding a different way to lose every single week. Right now it's a consistent struggle of the offense. Consistently the running game going nowhere. Consistently the quarterback is not as sharp as he needs to be. The receivers, unfortunately, not catching the ball coming their way as consistently as you like them to. To me, it's clear that some of the players are not playing up to their capabilities. When Allen Robinson comes off a Pro Bowl season, I get it. Referees are not calling everything against him. They're letting defensive backs get away with a lot, and teams are game planning to take him away. But at the same time, I think he's pressing a little bit, as evidenced by, you know, Bortles hitting him to start a drive right between the numbers and just flat out dropping the football, you know. And so I think it's easy to see some players are not playing well, but Gus Bradley has been the head coach all throughout. He's been a constant theme in these 4 years or three-plus years of lack of performance in the win column by this football team. So, look, it doesn't matter if every single article hangs it on Gus Bradley or not. I don't think that's where Shad Khan's going to ultimately make his decision on whether or not he wants to retain Gus for the long term. Put it this way, if this ends up being the same old five-win type season that Steve just described, I don't think you're going to have to worry about the problem. I think you're going to usher in an entirely new coaching staff next year.
And I think the issue is we're dealing with a fan base that the majority of them made up their mind about Gus Bradley 5 games into last year. And look, we talked about it going into the offseason when they made the decision to keep Gus. It's not the decision I would have made.
Or me.
I wouldn't have kept Gus Bradley. And so now, going into the season, he's here. There's nothing you can do about it. He's going to be the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So what does he have to do to maintain the job? And whatever you thought that was, whether it was 6 or 8 or 9 or competitive in the division or alive for the playoff picture in December, there is nothing that you've seen from this football team through 6 games that makes me believe that that's still attainable for this football team. I haven't seen anything that makes me believe that's going to happen. Do I think the talent on this football team is at a level where it should be? Yes. And that's why we talked about the number being where it was. For me, it was 7 or 8 wins. It had to be at 7 or 8 wins. That's the minimum to even discuss Gus Bradley keeping the job.
7
here.
Wins with circumstances that dictated why you didn't win more.
And you look at this team right now, I can't believe they're going to win 7.
I can't either. And that's a funny thing, Tony. There's still 10 games left in the season.
I know.
You go 500 the rest of the way, you're a 7-9 team. I mean, which is not a great record, but it doesn't. You look at the schedule and you see Denver and Kansas City and Minnesota and some of these other teams, and you think of some of the teams they've already lost to, and you can't logically put together a five out of 10 game stretch for this football
team. And if he does that, credit to him.
Good, yeah.
And
we
credit
want him
to the guys in that locker room.
And the way you said it a minute ago, I know you didn't intend to. You're like, there's nothing you can do. Gus Bradley's a coach. There's nothing you can do about it now. We're not trying to do anything about it now. We gave you our opinion after the season. If we were in charge, the amount of wins over the last 3 years wouldn't have been enough to bring back a coach for a fourth season. Now that he's back, we want him to go 16-0, or make it now 12-4, because that's the best he can do.
Yep.
We don't want to look smart. We would rather look dumb and say, "Man, they sure were ready to fire Gus Bradley in the offseason or whatever." Prove us wrong. We want the team to have success. That's the bottom line. We don't care who gets the credit, whether it's Gus, whether it's the players.
No.
It doesn't make a bit of difference here.
No, but you're watching. I mean, you're watching it happen in front of your eyes. Not only the way that they've lost a couple of these football games, but you watch Malik Jackson and Jalen Ramsey getting tossed from a game. So you have two guys that are just tossed out of an NFL football game. I can't remember the last time I saw that, if I ever have, to see one team lose two guys in a game for those kind of incidents. And so now you're dealing with a locker room that's dealing with that kind of blowout loss at home against the Raiders team. You got players like Allen Robinson he's one of the faces of this team. He was your Pro Bowler last year and a star in that Pro Bowl game. He's not having a great 2016 season, and now he's taking shots at the fans for the way that they're reacting to the way this football team is playing. The expectations that the fans and that the team had for themselves are crippling them right now because they're not living up to it, and it's turning, you can feel it turning into this whirlwind of chaos. I don't think it's completely there yet, but it's turning that way. And if they don't find a way to start winning games starting this week in Tennessee, it could get real ugly. I mean, it could be like it was with Malarkey for the last month and a half of the season, where unnamed players are saying they're practicing us too hard. Like, that's the kind of precipice they're on right now if they don't find a way to start winning games.
By the way, let's be clear. In my opinion, I think yours as well, those expectations that are leading to disappointment were well warranted.
Yes.
Right? You can't – whether you thought they had the talent or not, 4 years into a quote-unquote rebuild – they talked about John Elway last night, and I get it, you know, different circumstances, but John Elway took over a four-win Denver team, and what has he won, 5 division titles in a row, Tony, including 2 trips to the Super Bowl with a championship last year. Mm-hmm. Now he's playing with a quarterback who was drafted in, what, the 6th or 7th round in Trevor Siemian, and yeah, I get it. They have a lot of defensive talent out there. I think the Jags have a lot of defensive talent, and Denver's just finding ways to continue to march on and win football games against good football teams. So, you know, it's frustrating that the Jags haven't been able to get there yet. Let's get Jerry, I believe, up next. If I'm not – I'll make that Mike on the south side. Excuse me. Mike, you're next on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Good. Yeah, I got 3 things. I won't take long. Okay, but first thing, it is disappointing because this is Gus' 4th year. This is Blake's 3rd year. They shouldn't be struggling against – low-level defenses. They should have made enough progress to exploit them type of defenses. 2, the thing that Oakland did that right that we doing wrong is that they let Greg Olsen help develop Derek Carr. They didn't try to develop an offense around him. They let him go. We decided to keep him and try to run an offense. That's what they did right, and we're stuck with what we did wrong. 3rd thing is, Buffalo and Detroit got rid of their offensive coordinators, and their team are doing better. Matt Stafford is doing a lot better without Calvin Johnson after his new offensive coordinator came in. Buffalo playing better with a new offensive coordinator. So it's like, that's all I got to say. And I leave, like, y'all can comment out there.
All right, thank you. I don't think that's all you had to say. I think your next comment would be, so why aren't we firing the offensive coordinator? I mean, it seemed like you left something unsaid there. I think what he's saying, that second comment was a little confusing to me. I think what he's saying is they're not building an offense around Blake's strengths. Is that, you know, right? They're just putting him in an offense and saying execute it. That's what I took out of that. The question right now we ask is, at this moment, what are Blake's strengths? What do you go to when you're devising a game plan? If you're Greg Olsen, I'm not trying to excuse Greg Olsen. They're all, look, it will be a
if Gus
major
is gone,
overhaul.
They're all gone.
They're all gone, right? And so I'm not trying to you know, lobby for anyone here. I want them all to have success, but my my caring about the team is not tied to any one individual coach or player or anything else like that. What do you call for Blake Bortles? We discussed this at length yesterday. What are the strengths that you go to right now to get him going? Do you lean on the run game to take a little pressure off him? Well, you can't run the ball. You can't run it at all. What kind of passing plays do you call? What is he throwing well right now? The short, you know, crossing stuff to Marquise Lee. Marquise Lee seems to be the only guy he's got any kind of rhythm with right now. Certainly doesn't have it with Robinson or Hearns or Julius Thomas. And doesn't mean he can't get it back, but I mean, I what do you call 50 passes to Marquise Lee? I mean, it's kind of, honestly, it's kind of crazy right now.
No, we joked around off air about this. I said it Sunday during the game, watching what Marquise Lee was doing, and did you ever think at any point in 2016, going into this season, that you would look at this Jaguars offense and say the only thing that's working is Marquise Lee?
He's the offensive MVP at the moment, is he not? I mean, he's close to it, right?
You can make an argument for Allen Hurns. Because yeah, he has had some big
right.
plays.
And honestly, Allen Robinson's numbers probably better as well. You know, I mean, we're just looking at put it this way, he's been a pleasant surprise, right? There's no one individual standout. Last year, you looked at Blake and you said, wow, club records for touchdown passes and yardage. You looked at Allen Robinson, you have 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns. Are you kidding me? I mean, those were gaudy numbers, and you were choosing between a couple of great candidates. Now you're saying, who's okay? You know, that's where they are right now. And the one point I think that was made is that I really agree with, you got to get it done against a team like Oakland. That's a get-well week for you. That's when a struggling offense.
They've had three in a row.
The conversation we should have been having for these 3 days was, all right, yeah, they scored 30 points, Tony, but it was Oakland. Is that real, right? I mean, that's what you would have been one of those. The doubters would have been like, yeah, but it's the Raiders because everyone does it against the Raiders for the most part, and 5 out of 6 teams had prior to that. The good news is, I guess the one other team that didn't was the Tennessee Titans, who only managed 10 points against.
Right, and look, you look at it, it's not just Oakland. It's the fact that they played Indianapolis, then they played Chicago, and then they played Oakland. And in none of those games did the offense really get going.
No.
It was okay against Indianapolis. But it wasn't great.
It was okay because you got a little semblance of running game.
And they finally put together a couple drives at the end of the Chicago game, but that's a defense that has been had by pretty much everyone they've played this year. And then they can't get it done against what was statistically the worst defense in the league. They were giving up again. We talked about it all last week, 8.9 yards per attempt. If they can't figure it out in those 3 weeks, then maybe it's just broken for 2016. Can they get better? Yeah, they better. They have to get better than they've been. But can they fix what's broken in this offense during this season, given the three defenses we just saw in play? I lean towards no.
Right. I don't know. You're not going to have an easier three-game stretch.
They can improve, but I don't think they can fix it. I think it's broke this year.
All right. Do we still have Breezy downtown, Tyler? Is that where we're going? Let's go to Breezy calling in from the downtown area. Hello, Breezy. How are you?
How you guys doing this morning, man?
Good, thanks.
I have a few comments about Allen Robinson. First of all, I guess he doesn't realize that the people in London aren't as savvy as we are in football. They just know it's an entertainment thing going on. So they come and show up, and they sell out. Some of them know, you know, about football, but, of course, a lot of them don't. And then how many times the Jaguars have been losing forever at home? So you can't blame us. The fans will get mad at you, you know, because you keep losing. Okay? You put in a bad product on the field. Get you a quarterback that could throw a fade, that could throw the long ball, that could drop a dime over your shoulder. That's what you need to do. Okay?
Is that it?
That's it.
Sounds like it.
All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. I get it. We've had comments from some of our friends over in London already this morning on Twitter saying, hey, you know what? They cheer punts over there. They're not exactly – they're backing up what you're saying there. They're not savvy.
They're just cheering.
Yeah. They're look at that kick went really
high. They're at an NFL game.
Fine for them. By the way, I got this one. And before we go to break, let me just read this quickly on Twitter from Joshway2585. Said, let me say this about Gus. He's a great guy for the community. He's a very nice guy. I want him to win and be successful here, but at the end of the day, you have to win games, and he isn't doing that. We're not suggesting otherwise. Don't get it twisted. We think of a person you really care about, and you don't want to hurt their feelings, right? Mm-hmm. And when you give them constructive criticism, you give it in a way that you're like, you know what? Let me tell you something good first, and then let me soften the blow a little bit. Nobody's suggesting that Gus being a great guy is any kind of job security. Okay, it's not. We just acknowledge it because he truly is a guy that we feel bad that it's not going well for, because we think that all of his motivations are pure, right? That doesn't mean he should have any more job security than he's already gotten from Shad Khan, right?
In fact, we believe he should have had less.
Right. It's not about us trying to make an excuse. Oh, yeah, buddy's a good guy. No, we acknowledge it just as kind of a way to soften the blow, but the criticism remains a criticism. You can separate the two. It can go without saying, but we say it because, to me, he's kind of like everyone's best friend. You know, if you had someone you really cared about, if I wanted to critique Tony, I wouldn't just blast Tony. I would say, Tony does a ton of great things. Here's one thing I think he could be better at, because I have respect for Tony, and I like Tony, and he's a good guy. And that's where we come from when we say it about Gus. It's not saying you should overlook anything because of this. So please don't take it like that. That's not how we intended. All right, 641-1010. We got to take a timeout. He is a hell of a guy, by the way, if you haven't heard. We'll come back. We do have to get to Malik Jackson and Jalen Ramsey, and we want more of your calls coming in as well. Mike DiRocco going to join us in about 40 minutes to discuss the comments Allen Robinson made about the booing from the fan base. That's coming up at about 11:15 this morning. With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today, live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Things got a little heated in Sunday's game against Oakland. Jaguars rookie cornerback Jalen Ramsey was ejected in the fourth quarter. He and Raiders wide receiver Johnny Holton were disqualified for fighting. Here's Jalen Ramsey talking about the incident yesterday.
I'm going to keep it real with you again. I don't know who the dude is. I don't know who he is. I didn't guard him the entire game. He was the gunner on their punt team. I don't know who he is. Nah, I guarded Amari the entire game, literally the entire game. I played nickel maybe a few snaps, but other than that, I was always on Amari, so I don't know who that dude is. Nobody.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmon.
All right, no more with Jeff Logman, at least for this week, here on Jaguars Today. Jeff was in with us for about a half an hour yesterday, as he is off today traveling for the funeral of a friend, as we've detailed for you a couple of times. But just putting that out there in case you happen to be tuning in right now expecting to hear Logs. We'll have Check the Tape Tuesday again next week with a little more time to really delve into that Thursday night football tape. Before we get back to the phone lines, I do want to get to some of this audio coming out of the Jags locker room yesterday. And let's start with Malik Jackson. As we mentioned, he won't be on Midday Chalk today because the Jags will be practicing with the short week, different schedule. But he was asked if it was a meltdown for him personally during the game or for the team as a whole on Sunday.
It was just a tough day all around. You know, it didn't end the way we wanted it to end. Definitely had some things that happened that wish didn't happen, but you know, it's about learning and being able to move on. And thankfully, we have a Thursday game, so we're able to kind of forget about this a little sooner and go out there and play some more football this week, this Thursday.
It seemed like you disagreed with my question. I mean, am I way off base?
Did we have a meltdown?
Well, yeah. I'm asking if that's a fair term, so.
That's how you see it. I'm not going to tell you how you see things. I don't know if it was a meltdown, but then again, I don't know what I would call it. You know, I think we just lost it, kind of unraveled at the end, but I don't know if from out there is what actually is.
Obviously, that was Brian Sexton in there trying to clarify the question. Look, you could take a guy at his words. I'm going to try to read between the attitude I heard, and I don't mean attitude in a bad way, just the inflection and all that stuff, and the I'm not going to tell you what to call it. Clearly, from that I gather Malik Jackson doesn't term it a meltdown. What happened? You can call it whatever you want. It was a lack of discipline and a loss of poise by the football team.
No doubt. And look, Malik knew he was going to have to walk into the locker room today and face the music on this. And I thought he actually handled it pretty well.
I agree. You know, that's what you need to do, right? If you're not going to be in the locker room after the game, then deal with it the immediate next day and just be done with it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Malik was also asked what happened with that first unsportsmanlike penalty.
Just a lot, you know. I just disagree with the call, but you know, I have to understand that there's a line to tote, and they have a job to do, and we have to be cohesive. And it just wasn't that, and a lot of things were said, a lot of things happened, and I got thrown out as a result. So I learned my lesson, trying to gotta do better for the team and grow up a little bit and you know, can't make mistakes like that. So,
all right, let's jump ahead here, Tyler, to Malik Jackson, cut number 5, and then we'll move on to some Jalen Ramsey thoughts as well coming out of the locker room yesterday. Malik Jackson asked, is there any concern about your actions, bringing about questions about Gus Bradley's leadership on this team, and does he have a firm handle on what's going on?
Nah, if anything happens, y'all going to say Gus's fault. So, I mean, I don't really see this. Everything is Gus's fault, man. You know, it starts with the head, of course. But, you know, I think if anything's going wrong, y'all going to say Gus this, Gus that. It doesn't matter. I think he has a lost control. I think it's just, you know, it's an emotional game, and we have to go out here and balance playing emotions from knowing when to say things, not when to say things, and not when to do things. And it's just hard to balance. You know, sometimes you lose control, and I think that's what happened. We lost control, but I don't see this being a tendency. I don't see this being an issue, and we're going to move forward.
I hope he's right. You know, we haven't seen too many, widespread activities like this on Gus Bradley or anybody else's watch, Tony. But I think this is part of what we're talking about with fans' investment in the team and players. Look, I don't doubt Malik is all for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but for the last 6 games, he has been. He just got here. And when he, says, well, no matter what happens, y'all going to say it's Gus's fault. Gus Bradley's built that up over averaging 4 wins a year for 3 years, that there's already a pre-cooked-in sentiment that Gus Bradley is not getting the job done to the level the fan base would expect.
Sure, and what I want that comment to mean, and maybe it does, but what I want that comment to mean is the players in that locker room are saying, whatever anybody's saying about Gus, you guys can blame Gus for whatever you want to. We're not doing it, right? And that's the reason Gus is getting blamed for everything. We got to start winning one-on-one. We got to start finding a way to execute these plays that they're calling for us. We got to find a way to start winning. And then you guys can stop blaming Gus for us winning, right? He'll get some credit for that kind of thing. And that's kind of what I read into that is you guys can blame Gus for whatever. I didn't lose my composure because of Gus Bradley being my head coach. I lost my composure because I lost my composure. And that's why I got thrown out of that game.
But he's also right in that the head man ultimately is responsible
for
everything.
And he gets that. And Malik is one of the guys in that locker room. He gets it. And that's why he spoke to us yesterday the way he did. So Jalen Ramsey also speaking to the media yesterday was kind of funny. Jalen was walking over to his locker room. Malik was at the ping pong table at the time. And Jalen's locker is right there in front of the ping pong table, and Malik kind of turned around to him and goes, give the people what they want, Jalen. He was like, be smart about it. So Jalen stepped up, talked to the media yesterday. He was asked what happened that led to your altercation.
Stuff. It is what it is. It is what it is. We just got into it. It is what it is. I can see it on the film or whatever.
This is a young guy who is trying his utmost best to give you the party line.
I wanted to, with that cut, because obviously he doesn't say much, but I didn't edit anything in it. I didn't take out any of the pauses, the ums, like we usually do with a lot of these guys. But I wanted everyone to be able to hear that one full. Like, just his honest, raw
answer. He's battling himself right there, right?
And it's the next question that he stops battling himself.
How difficult, Jalen, is it to walk the fine line between playing aggressive football and playing out of control?
I mean, there's a fine line between it. You just kind of got to keep your head or whatever. But, I mean, they probably don't want me to say this, but I'm going to just keep it real with y'all. If I was out there 9 more times, I would do the same exact thing. I don't think I should have been thrown out the game for it. Neither do I think he should have been thrown out the game for it, to be real with you. I mean, I'm not going to be disrespected. Pretty sure y'all know that about me by now. So I would do the same thing, just being real with y'all.
Did he give a peek maybe over
to
the PR?
Yeah, a couple of seconds into that answer before he went, I'm just going to be real with you guys, he actually peeked over to the PR. And then he looked back and he said, all right, here I go.
They, you know what? They don't want me to say this, but
I'm not going to be disrespectful.
What, you're not going to play Jalen Ramsey this week? See, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't have...
I think that's more of a... Look, I think there is a risk with Jalen Ramsey, and I think opponents are going to start trying to do it to get in his head a little bit with that whole, I'm not going to be disrespected.
Right.
Because he does carry himself that way. And you saw, the end of the Baltimore game is when it kind of came to a head with Steve Smith, because Steve Smith is a maniac. But it hasn't happened on the field until this week where somebody got in his face and he really got back at him. Now, I've seen much more happen in an NFL game where the guy didn't get thrown out. for what Jalen Ramsey did. I mean, that's something that happens from time to time in an NFL game. So I tend to agree with him. He didn't need to be thrown out of that football game, but I think they felt everything was kind of out of control.
Right. At that time, they just wanted to grab and kind of tamp things down.
Yeah. And finally, one more cut here from Jalen Ramsey talking about that altercation that led to his ejection. He was asked, was there anything that happened that led up to that play?
I'm going to keep it real with you again. I don't know who the dude is. I don't know who he is. I didn't guard him the entire game. He was the gunner on their punt team. I don't know who he is. Nah, I guarded Amari the entire game, literally the entire game. I played nickel maybe a few snaps, but other than that, I was always on Amari. So I don't know who that dude is. Nobody.
There you go.
Jalen's Jalen, man.
Yeah, he is absolutely that. That was Holton who had the big return. Johnny Holton.
Nobody.
Had the, hey, that's fine. You know, if another team could throw a nobody at you and get you off your game, like, that's kind of going in with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Our team's going to go after Jalen Ramsey now and try to bait him. Hopefully he'll be a little bit smarter about that. You can play aggressive football. You know what? Knock him out legally and – you know, take your slight out on him that way if you feel disrespected. Hopefully that's it in terms of Jalen Ramsey getting tossed from games. And like you said, I think the atmosphere and what was happening around him kind of contributed to that.
And I think the fans love that about Jalen, by the way. And I think you should. I think that's what makes him what he is as a player, is that kind of stuff. Nobody.
Jalen feels, I would imagine, like he's the best corner in the National Football League. And
good for
that's
him.
Fine.
Yeah.
Because you know what? He's quickly becoming one of the best right before our eyes. All right, we're coming back with this date in football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. We will get to more of your calls if you want to react to any aspect of Jaguar football. Mike DiRocco coming up in about 25 minutes here in studio with us live at Everbank with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this state in football history brought to you all week long by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. We'll go back to 1979 on this date, October 25th, when San Diego quarterback Dan Fouts threw for 303 yards at Oakland. See, you can always pass on the Raiders, setting an NFL record at the time by topping 300 yards for the fourth straight game. The record now stands, according to NFL.com, at six consecutive games. Steve Young, Kurt Warner, and Rich Gannon during his MVP season all reached the mark of six. Joe Montana, Kerry Collins, and Drew Brees are in second place with a mark of five. Fouts actually did the trick of doing it four games in a row on two separate occasions. Famous birthdays for the state, Tony. Go back to 1869, right?
All right.
Which was, coincidentally enough, the same year the Cincinnati Reds became the first baseball team, Major League Baseball squad. At least that was their founding. John Heisman, born on this date in 1869. Yes, that John Heisman, a pioneering football coach, also a baseball coach, a basketball coach, played all three sports collegiately at Brown. And I think Princeton, he went to both schools and played sports at both. He passed away in 1936 at the age of 66 years old. He, of course, was the coach at Georgia Tech when they infamously ran up the score on Cumberland 222-0 in a game they would not let them out of their contract in. Cumberland had beat Georgia Tech in baseball 22-0 in a previous game, and Heisman was said to be getting revenge against Cumberland in that game. Of course, the Heisman Trophy, yes, is named for him. Born in the state in 1912, a longtime Washington Redskin owner, Jack Kent Cook. He also owned the L.A. Raiders, L.A. Kings, and the L.A. Wolves, Tony, of the North American Soccer League, a founding member of the NASL back in the late 60s. He passed away, Jack Kent Cook did, in 1997 at the age of 84. Born in the state in 1950, John Matuszak, who was one of those Raider wild men in the 1970s, and the lifestyle may have caught up with him. He passed away at the age of only 38 years old in 1989. Also born in the state. Speaking of Georgia Tech, we had John Heisman. Also had Pat Swilling, a great linebacker, five-time Pro Bowler. He is 52 years old today. That is this date in football, presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. If you or one of your loved ones has a snoring problem, look, everybody has a snoring problem if one person in the house does. Get the Somnimed Custom Fit Mouth Guard, one of the many features and options offered by Dr. James McCall's outfit at 620-9225. That's how you'll reach them. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of their comprehensive care services located on Gate Parkway. This Date in Football History, presented by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Miami Dolphins running back Arian Foster announced his decision to retire yesterday via Uninterrupted. Foster tore his Achilles last year, his final season in Houston, and signed with the Miami Dolphins this offseason. But after groin and hamstring injuries early this year, Foster has decided that he just can't play the game at the level he needs to in order to continue his career. He said, quote, "There comes a time in every athlete's career when their ambition and their body are no longer on the same page. I've reached that point," end quote. The Houston Texans fear that right tackle Derek Newton, who was carted after an apparent injury to both of his knees last night, may have torn the patellar tendon in both knees. Newton had air casts put on both legs before he was carted off the field. Should be more information on that today at some point. New York Jets quarterback Geno Smith, who replaced a benched Ryan Fitzpatrick last week against Baltimore, reportedly tore the ACL in his right knee on Sunday. Smith is planning to see Dr. James Andrews to get a second opinion on the knee, but it appears that he will miss the rest of the season with that ACL injury. Jets head coach Todd Bowles said yesterday that the team will be going back to Ryan Fitzpatrick as the starter, and that second-year quarterback Bryce Petty isn't ready to play yet. When asked about Fitz's comments talking about the coaches and front office not believing in Fitzpatrick anymore, Bowles said, quote, "If pissed off is going to stop the turnovers, then I'm more than happy to have him play pissed off the whole time." Los Angeles Rams head coach Jeff Fisher said yesterday that number one overall draft pick Jared Goff will be getting first-team reps this week and early into next week as the Rams work through their bye week after a terrible performance by Case Keenum in their loss to the Giants in London, where he threw four interceptions, including the game-sealing one as the Rams were driving to potentially tie the game late. But Fisher also said that Keenum is still his starter and that Goff's reps are just a byproduct of the bye week. We'll see if he still feels that way next Tuesday.
All right, there you have it. Around the NFL we go every day, and now we welcome in from ESPN.com. He's Mike D, and he gets respect. Mike DeRocco, around these parts anyway. What's up, D-Rock? How are you?
I am so stealing these Bose headphones.
Just they're nice, aren't
FYI,
they?
FYI.
They're super comfy.
Like, they're going to be in my pocket in like 20 minutes.
There go. You know what? Everything is nice in here. I might take one of these flat screens but at the end of the season.
They might notice that.
Probably. I think they notice everything, by the way. We're only kidding. Mr. Khan, Mike DeRocco, your story, which included quotes from Allen Robinson, I'm sure you knew at the time this would cause somewhat of a stir because fans don't like being criticized for reacting to poor play by booing. I mean, I get both sides of it. I truly do. But I think while we ask players, we want and hope that they will be honest with us. Forthcoming, and that's fine. From that perspective, I think Allen Robinson, sometimes, you know, the old adage, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything, might apply when it comes to criticizing a fan base that has gone through as much losing as this one has.
Yeah, two things. Number one, like I had this conversation with Telvin after he said what he said a couple of weeks ago.
We remember.
It's like you will never win that as a player. It's just you can't win that. You may be 100% right, but you'll never win a pissing contest with the fans. You just lose that all the time. That being said, fans totally have the right to boo after what they saw on Sunday. Completely 100% support their right to do that. Let me just explain what happened with Allen. I mean, it wasn't I didn't bait him into that. I didn't go over there and ask him specifically about the fans. I was talking to him about his struggles this year, and the last question I asked him was, hey, what is your thoughts when you hear about people saying that Blake should be benched? Because I needed a quote about Bortles possibly. Well, not possibly, but I needed a quote about
the
it.
Yeah, exactly.
I asked Gus about it, got the quote from Gus that he firmly believes. So I asked Allen about it, and that's what he said. He was you can tell talking to these guys that they're frustrated, the offensive guys, with the way that they've played. They're frustrated that they can't score points. They're frustrated they're 2-4. Allen is frustrated with the way he's playing. He's having a hard time dealing with all that, and I think that quote was sort of the result of that. That being said, again, like I said a minute ago, you can't you can't say something like that and not expect a little bit of blowback from the fans. It's just the way it is. But you know, he was honest in what he. You know, from our standpoint, we want these guys to be honest and tell us what they think. So you know. I had no problem with him saying it because that's what he feels. But again, sure. Yeah, I mean, I just want everyone to know I didn't bait him on that or anything like that. It just came up in a normal conversation, normal interview or something like that. And, you know, he said what he said. So,
yeah, nobody is suggesting you did. And I think most people who follow the team for any period of time know that that's not how you're operating.
Yeah, I don't operate that way.
Let's just play this quickly. This is Gus, 13. You're talking about him backing up Blake Bortles and was asked, you know, he was asked extensively about him and talked about still firmly believing in Blake.
Oh, I firmly believe in Blake Bortles, without a doubt. I think it was a challenging day yesterday, like I said earlier, you know, about some of the situations we were in. But as far as a competitor and tough and what he brings to this team, there is no doubt.
It's not been good, though. Right? I mean no. So
not at all.
So I get it. He's backing his guy. Right. And we have suggested, you know, people said, oh, you got to give Henny a shot. You got to give Brandon Allen a shot.
No, you
right.
Don't.
Because
no, you don't.
Are you of the opinion that when you have a franchise quarterback and you opt to bench him, I'm not talking about in the third quarter of a game where he's struggling to try to light a spark, but you opt to say, you're healthy, we're going with somebody else this week. Is that it? Is that the end of that player being the franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
It's
because you've told
back,
him,
right?
You've told him for 2 years that you're our guy, you're our franchise guy. We drafted you number 3. We're gonna live and die with you. The franchise is on your shoulders, and he hits a rough spot, and then you're like, never mind, we're going with Chad Henne. You know, we've seen Chad's body of work when he's been here, so let's not forget that the offense was non-functional when they benched Chad to go to Blake. And look,
and Blake responded, by the way.
He's got to play through this. He's got to find a way to get through this. Guys go through – it's like a hitter in a slump. Guys go through this kind of stuff.
Is that how you see this? He's just – is it in his head?
I think he's – you know, he's told us that he's playing tight, that he's pressing a little bit, that he's trying to do too much. You know, he's admitted he's not played well. And the bottom line is, I think that there's an element of it's all on my shoulders. That's what he seems to feel like. This offense is all on my shoulders. We can't run the ball. Well, it's all on my shoulders. You know, A-Rob's dropping balls. I got to throw him a better ball. It's on my shoulder. I'm making bad throws. I'm making bad reads, bad decisions, like throwing into the end zone in the triple coverage. You know, what I mean, he feels like it's all on his shoulders. And he's got to fight through that. Because if he doesn't, then he isn't the franchise quarterback that this franchise thought he was going to be. Yeah, he may not be able to fight through it, you know, but you've got to give him the chance to do so.
Right.
And let's be honest, he's a big part of these offensive problems, but he's not the only reason.
No, he's not the only reason. But when your quarterback is struggling, that is the biggest concern
right.
you could possibly
have. Theoretically, your franchise guy, when you can't run the ball, can take it on his shoulders and win you games and do other things. He can't do that right now for a variety of reasons like that we just talked about. But that's the biggest issue.
Well,
he's got to fight through it.
Yeah, and if he can't fight through it, then he's not the franchise.
Right, you need to know if he can fight through this because you're going to have adversity. You're going to have games where you don't play well. I mean, look, let's be honest. Several years ago, it's probably a bad example, but everyone thought Tom Brady was done after a horrifically bad game against Kansas City. Well, he fought through that. That's what franchise guys do. So you got to find out. Whether it's for this staff or the next staff, whether it's for this GM or the next GM, you got to find out if he's your guy. Because if he's not, then you have to start all over again. But it's too early, in my opinion, to make the call that he's not yet.
By the way, hold the tweets. Mike DiRocco is not suggesting Blake Bortles is Tom Brady. And all
no,
that.
No, no.
I know that's coming next.
Yeah,
though.
And that's what I said. I mean, it's a bad example.
It's a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you have to fight through that. You have to. I mean, they gave Blaine Gabbert every chance to fight through that, and he wasn't able to. He's not the franchise quarterback. That's what you have to do. And Blake has to get it right pretty quick, because if he plays his way through the season, then you go into the 2017 season, and it's a make-or-break year for Bortles,
right.
and leading more towards the break if he hasn't played well at all this year.
We know you got to get out to practice soon. You going to stick around for a few more
minutes?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right,
I can stick around for a while.
Mike DiRocco, ESPN.com. We know the phone lines are loaded right now. I promise you we'll get to some of you when we come back, and we'll let Mike weigh in on some of your questions as well here with us. With Fat Tony and Mike DiRocco and Mike Dempsey's Jaguars Today, live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Jeff, you've changed. He still has a goatee, but
I am exactly what Jeff Logman would be if you squished him down a foot.
Is that right?
If you probably weigh the same, probably squished him down a foot.
Push
you
on
know,
his head long
yeah,
enough. And
maybe,
you 12,
maybe 13, 14 inches, and boom, we'd be twins.
Logman, obviously, he's at Dennis Byrd's funeral, or he's traveling for that today. And we've got D-Rock in here with us. Jeff Logman will be back for another Check the Tape Tuesday. Next week, Mike DiRocco from ESPN, your Jaguar beat writer for the NFL Nation coverage with ESPN.com. All right, guys, callers are stacked up, so let's get to them, and we'll get D-Rock's opinion on these questions here. We'll start with Ryan checking in downtown. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Great, thanks. What's up?
Good. A couple of things. The receivers, man, for some reason, the only one that's creating any separation right now is Marquise Lee. A couple. Another thing is obviously, as you guys have addressed earlier, drop balls. The no huddle for me is the strength for Blake right now. For some reason, he's much better when he seems like he has to score within the next 2 minutes. If it does not pan out, what do you guys think about them drafting another QB, Clemson's QB next year in the first round, or even University of Washington's Browning? Who is coming out?
Right, Ryan, let me cut you off right there. All right, if it turns out that it doesn't pan out, we'll discuss it extensively.
We got 10 games to get through.
I'm not
we
even
that.
In going in that direction.
But he's right about Marquise Lee.
A list a watch list. Oh, no,
Marquise
Lee's
has been
well.
Their best offensive player all year.
Yeah,
all year, and not even close.
Which is, I mean,
stunning.
It's
stunning.
It's a crazy. And I'm happy for Marquise.
Yeah,
we knew
he's
he had
a good
talent,
kid.
You know,
yeah.
And you know, he just got to stay on the field.
Would,
and he's been
would
able
like
to, do that.
To see. A jet sweep, just one, because we saw it all throughout OTAs, all throughout training camp.
They're
haven't seen one.
It.
Yeah,
they're saving it for Thursday. in terms of the tempo, we talked about that. They tried some up tempo in the first half. They tried, you know, again, if your offense isn't functioning, if you're not completing enough passes, if you're not doing well on third down, which is really not
a huge issue, yeah.
Right? Because I mean, the completion percentage you can look at the numbers and you can say. It's not that bad, right? And then it's the key passes and it's the misses and how bad some of the misses are. It's one thing, even some of the receptions. How many times, Tony, we talked about yesterday, guys are reaching back behind him
on
his crossing
routes. And I think
the
caller mentioned creating separation, and I think Allen Hurns has been a good enough route runner that he is creating some separation. Blake Bortles just isn't hitting him with the ball where he needs
right.
to.
Right. And I think there's a little bit of lock on Larry going on there, too, with Allen Robinson. I think he's looking for him. But
which is understandable.
I get it.
You know, a young
but
quarterback.
But you got other guys.
True.
You know?
True.
And maybe that's the emergence of Marquise Lee is going to help him figure out, you know what, I've got more options. But you know, you said third down, just real quick, ESPN has this QBR stat, which I'm not really 100% sure how they figure it out. I just know that like 50 is like the average. And his rating on third down, Blake's rating on third down is 9.
9.
One TD,
which
six
means
picks.
Basically that 91% of quarterbacks –
are better.
Their sample size have performed better
on
historically. And it doesn't go back to the, you know, the beginning of the league or
like
anything like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, basically over the last
not
decade.
Good. It's not
no.
good.
Let's go to Zach in Arlington next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys today?
Great, thanks.
All right, so a couple of things. First of all, I was at the game, and when I was booing going into halftime, it was more of the play calling choice of us downing it rather than the crappy product out on the field. Second, last year in the off season between Blake's first and second season, you know, they had a big write up about how Blake Bortles worked with Tom House in the off season, but I never saw anything about that or heard anything about that this off season. Do you guys know if
he went
he
back
spent time? He did.
He did. Yeah, not as extensively as he did the year before. I want to say he went for 3 or 4 days this year, but he did go back and see Tom House. Yes.
You know, Tony said looking at some of the mechanics from last year's games, they don't look appreciably different.
The windup looks longer
it
to me.
Looked, to the naked eye, yeah. It does. But I guess for people who slowed it down and
yeah.
and they,
I was just watching the 2015 like a YouTube highlight thing, and I'm watching like it. I'm watching the ball go down. I'm like, ah, there it is. What feels different to me is, and I know Prisco put out a photo of the throw that he had behind Hurns this week.
Okay,
right, and he basically just still shot it right when he was throwing the ball, and he's like, I wonder why he didn't complete this pass, and his feet are pointed basically right where he threw the ball.
Which is, yeah.
Behind him.
That's been an issue for him throughout his career, and they cleaned that up with Tom House going into last year. And that's the interesting thing to me is that you would think it's hard to change who you are, I think, a little bit. So he's always not going to be clean. You know, he's never going to be 100% fundamentally sound guy.
But you can be better. But you have to really stay on it.
Correct. And it doesn't look like he stayed on it. That's my thing is, like, maybe he went back and saw Tom House, but you got to continue. You can't fix all that in 1 year. You got to continually drill it and continually drill it. And, you know, people ask me, hey, you know, what about, you know, whose fault is that? Well, I mean, that's Blake's fault. But it's also, you can put some of that on the coaches for maybe not cleaning that up or getting him to clean it up. But again, you know, plenty of blame for this to go around.
Oh, absolutely.
Plenty of blame.
It's not just one guy.
Right. No, it never is. It's never one answer.
But when the quarterback is not playing well,
it makes it harder to do
anything. One answer.
Yep.
Let's move on to Chris in Julington Creek. Chris, you're on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, fellas. What's going on? D-Rock, you know, I know we have a young locker room, and I, you know, with that in mind, there's an epidemic of players criticizing the fans for booing, and especially with guys like Telvin and Rashad. I mean, they only lost one game in 2 years at Florida State. If they went 14-43, I'm sure the fans in Tallahassee would have had something to say. I just don't know where these guys think that they can go play Philly, Chicago, New York, where they could go 14-43 or 2-4 to start a year, where there wouldn't be some backlash. It's not our job to applaud their losing effort as fans.
I agree, but here's the thing. Allen Robinson didn't go 14-43. He's only been here 3 years. You know, Telvin's only been here, what, 3 years? Or four, you know, I mean, I'm not making excuses.
That's a large part of
it. It is a large part of it, yeah. But what fans are upset about, too, is they look back and they say, okay, 14-40 under Gus. Well, then they see the malarkey year, 2-14, and then they see the last part of it after. So it's not just 4 years of frustration on the fans' part, and that's what I don't think the players understand. They don't have a concept of how disappointing and bad it has been here for a long period of time. No winning record since 07, so which was the last playoff appearance. So in reality, it's 9 years. You know, so that's why the fans are understandably upset, but the players don't have a grasp of that because they couldn't control anything that happened before they got here. And, you know, I don't know if I'd call two guys talking out about the fans an epidemic,
exactly.
But, you know, look, I get it. Fans are upset. The team stinks. They're not winning. They don't want the players calling them out when the players aren't performing. It's just not a good situation all around.
And as you point out, it's a fact of life. The fans are more invested in the franchise than the players are. The players,
right,
their career will end, and they may always feel, hey, Jaguar for life, and that's great. And all.
Right.
But these fans, like you said, have lived through this, and they're there through thick and thin, losing, winning. There hasn't been enough winning to balance out all the years.
And
of
they
losing.
Get so they've gotten so much else to be excited about with what Shad Khan has done,
sure,
with the facility and
the player acquisition. It
exactly.
raised the bar of expectations.
Exactly. And it should. It should.
Absolutely. Let's go to Will on the north side next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Will.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, quick question. I hear y'all talking about letting Blake play through his struggles, and I agree. I think there's a certain timeline that a quarterback has to follow as far as building himself, working through his issues. But my question is, I think there's two time clocks we got going on. You got the traditional quarterback timeline to establish himself, and then you have the fan timeline that we've been on since the rebuild. And I kind of think the Blake era and the fan going through this long rebuild kind of overlaps. So my question is, do you cut Blake's time to develop himself a little bit short because the fans have been struggling and have been supportive of this rebuild for so many years, or do you let him play through? Because this year, we're supposed to be winning games this year, you know, and it's really hard when they come out and tell you we're rebuilding and you know you're not going to be good for a long, long time. I mean, it's been a long 3-4 years, guys. It's really hard.
No, you can't cut the timeline short on whether you've got a franchise quarterback. Because if you cut the timeline short and he goes away and then he develops somewhere else because someone else is willing to give him the time, then you screwed yourself
right
badly. I mean, look, the timeline, we're not talking about another 4 years here on Blake. We're talking about, let's see what he does this season, and if he goes into the end next season having thrown 23 touchdown passes, 23 interceptions, 59% completion percentage, and he's fumbled four times, and the Jags are 4-12, well, then, you know, now your timeline is getting close to being over. But, I mean, I just don't think it's smart to cut it short at this point in time. There's so much more season left to go. And, look, is it likely that he's going to turn around and throw seven touchdown passes and no picks in the next two games? Based on his history, no. But, I mean, you've got to let him try and fight through this. You've got to find out if he's your guy.
Here are some numbers that you may recognize from a quarterback who was starting – full-time starter by his second year, all right, much like Blake, started a number of games in his first year. Second year, 24-17. Blake was 35-18 last year. Okay, mm-hmm. The next year, 24-18. So basically identical, no improvement. And then 23-20 in his fourth year in the league, led the league in interceptions, then went out and won the Super Bowl the next year. That's Eli Manning, and he went and added another one. I mean, I'm not saying right. Blake is Eli Manning, but I'm saying that we look at his numbers and we're like, wow, this is a lot of turnover. It is. It is, but they recognize that Eli Manning also has some leadership traits, the ability to make some big-time throws, and they needed to find a way to get – now, they've changed coordinators multiple times over the years to find better fits for him, and the latest incarnation seems to be the best. But the next year he came out – and he got a lot more efficient. He was 21 touchdowns and 10 picks and had a brilliant postseason in leading him to the upset over the New England Patriots undefeated team. So, I mean, none of us are trying to end the story here. This is not the final chapter.
Right.
But we acknowledge that the book needs to get better.
Correct. Right? Not everybody's timeline is the same. Not everybody's kid walks at the same age level. Not everybody's kid talks at the same age level. I mean, it's different for each quarterback, and the circumstances are different. So, you know, I just think it would be, you know, people say, well, let's throw in Brandon Allen. Can't be worse. Whoa, yeah, Ken. Yeah, yeah, Ken. And that's not a dig on Brandon Allen, but he's clearly not ready to play quarterback in the NFL at this point. And you've already seen what you have in Chad Henne. And if you make the change to Blake or make the change to Chad and three or four games from now you're no better and the offense isn't any better, then what do? You go back to Blake?
Right.
Who's now sitting there going, well, a month ago these guys had no faith in me. And now all of a sudden they got faith in me. Now you're messing with his head. I mean, look, just let him fight through it. I mean, it sucks. It's a terrible thing for fans to have to deal with, but you got to figure out if he's your guy.
Absolutely. Mike DiRocco's our guy. You got to get out of here? You tell us.
I'll stay for a little bit longer.
All right. Hang around as long as you like. Mike DiRocco from ESPN.com. We enjoy coming in, despite the fact that Ogier looked in here and just shook his head when he saw you sitting in what he thinks is his spot right here. Did you hear the results of the polling on the most
last,
popular?
DAL for Johnny O.
DAL for number four, John Ogier. So there you have it. All right, Mike DiRocco going to come back with us. We'll take a look at the fan feedback question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, which asks you right now, on the heels of losing Roy Miller for the season with a torn Achilles, we wish the best for Roy, but who are the three most indispensable Jags at this moment that they could least afford to lose going forward and still remain as competitive as possible? I'm Mike Dempsey along with Fat Tony and Mike DiRocco. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Special teams are a part of making a team special. Listen for the Special Teams Player of the Week. Brought to you by Air Source America Heating and Air Specialists. Who's your air source? On 1010XL 92.5 FM. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Ms. Nika on Twitter. She's always, once in a while, she pops up and says something that catches your eye. At Nika989, she said, a case of diarrhea of the mouth seems to be spreading in the Jaguars locker room.
Ooh, that's nasty.
Can't come for fans when you produce poo on the field. She didn't put on the field, but I assume that's what she's meaning.
I tell you, yeah. Well, okay. I don't think they'd come at the fans if they weren't booing.
Right, and the fans wouldn't
it's
be
not
booing
like they're,
if they were
they would be 8-0 and Allen Robinson's that locker room like, man, you
I'm not hearing the cheers.
They're not cheering enough on third down on defense.
Crazy.
Yeah. That's awesome.
D-Rock, before we get to some of these fan feedback reactions here on some of the more indispensable players, you know, and some of the reaction is, hey, They're losing. Nobody's indispensable. That's fine. You know, I say at this point, honestly, Jalen Ramsey might be the single most indispensable player going for the Jags right now.
Absolutely. He's been phenomenal. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. And people are going to look at his stats and go, there's nothing there. Whoa, they're not throwing his way.
Right.
I mean, what I think it was 5 or 6 targets to Amari Cooper, only 4 catches.
Right, and towards the end, I think they were switching up coverage. He said he had him the entire game. I don't think he had him.
I think he had some nickel. He was in some nickel, and there was one where he
came out. Yeah.
And there was one play where he blitzed earlier as well, and I was just like, it's a play that got lost in the entire game, but he came in that backfield like it was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Colvin's a pretty good blitzer. He may be better.
He's
phenomenal.
Jalen Ramsey's the real deal. I mean, there's no question about that. Going into Tennessee this week, Mike, they're playing a football game in a couple of days here.
How about that?
The season has not come to an end. If you're Greg Olsen, if you're Gus Bradley, whatever. I mean, how are you? What is the rallying cry to try to make this work on Thursday night? What are you focusing on?
Wow. I'd like to. I don't know if there's anything they can focus on right now, honestly, that they haven't already focused on in terms of trying to get the offense fixed, because that's the biggest issue. I mean, other than the fact that Roy Miller's out for the worst game that Roy Miller could possibly be out for the Titans, and DeMarco Murray, third in the NFL in rushing, and you know, they're going to pound the rock. I mean, we know that that's what they're going to do. But other than that, I mean, honestly, you have to get into your guys' heads, and you have to get them to stop pressing on offense. And it is what it is on the offensive line. They're not going to be able to run the ball very much this year. It'll be sporadic at best. But, you know, your guys like Blake and Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and Julius Thomas, you've got to get in their heads and get them to relax and to just sit there and play football. It sounds simple, but obviously through 6 weeks that we can watch, they're not playing football. I mean, they're, you know what I mean? Like, they're pressing. They're tight. Just let it hang out and go play. And I think the biggest thing that this offense needs, and it sounds, they've got to have some early success. I mean, they have just got to get a touchdown in the first quarter on their first drive.
You wonder what would
happen. Open that up. I mean, it would make them feel so much better. But I feel like they get down to the red zone on their first drive on Thursday night, that it's going to be things are going to tighten up.
The last two games, you've turned it over.
Right.
And you know, you wonder. That Chicago game, I mean, it just, the feel of that game as they got to the 1 yard line, you're like, wow, defense got to stop. Offense just marched this ball down the field. They're about to go up 7-0.
It's going
to
be a route.
The route may be on. And then you come back against Oakland, you're like, okay, you gave up an early field goal. Oakland's going to get some points. We're here in field goal range. At worst, we're going to tie this game. And then you turn it over. And then the feeling, I know the fans are thinking it, because I'm thinking it. Here we go again.
Right. And I think the players think that too. I don't think they want to admit it. And I asked Gus about that the other day. But I think, like, they feel tight when they get down there towards the goal line. They feel like in the first quarter, we want to start fast. We haven't started fast. Okay, here we go. What's going to happen? Can we get it in? I don't think, like, if they have a first quarter touchdown on their first drive on Thursday night, that it means everything's solved. But I think it certainly makes them feel a heck of a lot better about themselves. And I think that it finally maybe opened just help them relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think they're playing. You can't watch that and not what we saw on Sunday and not think that they're playing tight. They're trying too hard.
I said it yesterday, you know, going back and talking about the game over the weekend, that Bortles especially, it feels like it's 2014 all over again. And having the conversation we just had and the interceptions down there in the red zone the last 2 weeks, that was 2014.
Yeah.
Right? And he's not even effective moving the ball between the 30s right now like he was his rookie year. He was really effective in that part of the field. And then they get down there, and I called it the dead zone all season long, because it was just they'd go and go and go, and then it would stop. And this year it's been – they can't even get there, really, with Blake Bortles this year. But it feels like it's 2014 all over again for this football team, where the Raiders – I never felt like they were playing well, and they were whipping this football team on Sunday.
Yeah, and – you know, they can't run the ball, and that really is killing them. And I know that there's a feeling inside here that, look, if we could run the ball effectively, consistently, then this offense would just open up like a flower, and they wouldn't have wouldn't be facing split safeties deep so that they could take some shots down the field with Allen Robinson. You know, the player defensive would have to bring another guy up to respect the run and try and stop the run. That should open things up more. But, man, I just don't think that that's –
they're probably not wrong.
I mean, they're probably not wrong, but I just don't think that that's going to happen because they can't run it.
Right.
I mean, it's like a it's like they're trying to block five with three is what it looks
Denver
like.
Denver last night, and that's how they want to play football right now, right? I mean, right. Denver got it going with C.J. Anderson, Devontae Booker. They could run the ball pretty much at any time. And Trevor Siemian then can make some plays because he's not under constant duress. They're not asking too much of him.
No.
I think the skill guys here, look, they got Demaryius Thomas and Sanders. We got Robinson and Hearns and an emerging Marquise Lee. I don't think the pass catcher and Thomas,
yeah.
Right. I mean, I think here probably arguably better. They can run the football. Therefore, they can do more varied things on offense. They can take pressure off of their quarterback. Quick look at some of the responses we got on the Facebook page today. Josh went with Blake Bortles despite his struggles this season. We're talking about three players the Jags could at least afford to lose. Allen Robinson, despite his many drops. And Jalen Ramsey, he's had a very impressive rookie year. Clearly the best cornerback on the team. And I don't want to see Devon House again, says Josh. Hashtag
Ouch.
Jaguars today. Which, you know, you follow up, William says, we could lose anybody on the roster and it wouldn't make us any worse. That is not
would.
True.
Yeah,
that
would.
Is not true.
Oh,
can,
yeah,
you know,
would.
We when you say it can't get any worse, it can often get worse. Ramsey, here's one. Joshua goes, Ramsey, Posluszny, heart and soul of the defense. He's had an outstanding year. And Malik Jackson, $90 million investment. Never want to see that on the sideline. I don't think Malik's been bad this year. I don't think he's been.
I think it's been pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. It's
if,
not.
If I got to lose either him,
he's going to get eight sacks.
If I got to lose either him or Ramsey, I think I might say I'd rather lose Jackson than Ramsey.
I would rather lose. You'd rather lose
spot.
Jackson than Ramsey.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And,
yeah.
In other words, Ramsey more indispensable.
Correct.
Right now,
I
agree
point.
With you.
Yeah. I mean, if I were ranking my three guys, I'd probably go Ramsey number one. And then it would be like Paz slash Telvin.
Yeah, right. One of those or
one of those
not
two,
both
yeah.
of those.
Yeah,
guys.
Because, and I know fans don't want to hear that, but those guys are playing at a really, really high level. And then number three to me is Marquise Lee because he's the only one that's doing anything in offense.
Yeah.
The only one that gives them any kind of chance at a play. If they don't have Marquise Lee, woo.
We say that, but what if you lose Brandon Linder or an offensive line that's already not performing? You could give up that while they're not doing anything in the running game. They're not giving up tremendous pressure on every.
No, they're doing a good job pass blocking.
Right, so you could.
Yeah.
There are a lot of areas where you could always be a little bit worse.
Correct,
and that's certainly true in terms of co-hosts. Not today, however, because we had D-Rock. We had D-Rock here with us today.
Thanks for coming in, Mike. We certainly could have done worse.
No. I'm saying today's not that case because you did an excellent job as you always do. Whenever we get a chance to visit with you, what do you have coming up at ESPN.com? Getting ready for Thursday Night Football.
Obviously, going to be talking about Roy Miller today. Writing about Roy and Avery Jones. Interested to talk to Avery. I mean, that's going to be a significant role for him.
No doubt.
I'm going to examine the run game a little bit again, and you look at the signing of Chris Ivory, and you know, 7-8 weeks ago we thought this was going to be a team that could run the ball pretty well, and you know, they signed a guy that fit their style downhill between the tackles, and it just hasn't worked out. And then, you know, obviously this morning I had a story on Allen Robinson struggling and how frustrated he has been, and that is not related to the story. That quote,
right?
Because Allen Robinson is in the
first,
other story.
And I'm like, wait a minute, that quote. I didn't see that quote in there.
I deleted it. No. but yeah, I mean, it's a lot of good stuff coming this week. And
you're going to Florida, Georgia on Saturday?
You know, I'm not really sure. I think so. It would be, I think, my first time as a fan.
That'd
I don't
be
think,
cool though.
Yeah, I mean. I used to, like, I'll say that one of the things that I miss about covering college football, well, one is covering a big game, because I haven't covered a big game with this franchise, unfortunately, since I started here in 2013. But, like, Florida-Georgia is one of those special games. I mean, and anybody that's been there knows and gets it. And I'm, you know, even when I was covering the Gators and you would just walk around the parking lot, you just got this fantastic feeling. People like, hey, here, have some ribs, have a couple of beers, which I never did, by the way, just in case any of my bosses
maybe
were listening.
The ribs, not
well,
the
this week.
The ribs, yes. But none
of the fan, you going out there this week?
If I get some offers
All right.
in that All right. general area, then I'm probably going to partake.
I was behind some RVs coming in this morning. They're
showing up already. They're lining up, man.
All right, boys. So we're done today. We've done all the damage we can do. Appreciate Mike DiRocco joining us here, all of you calling in and expressing your opinions, because it means you still care. You still got a pulse, and that's apathy is the biggest enemy of this football team and their fan base right now, at least from my perspective. So go out there and play better in a couple of days. Get a W, and don't make us dwell on a 2-5 record for the next 10 days starting on Friday. By the way, Tom McManus is going to join us in studio Thursday. O'Halloran tomorrow, our number two most favorite weekly co-host behind only Jeff Logan. O'Halloran tomorrow. Tom McManus is going to join us in studio. I'm not sure for how much of the show, but it's certainly part of it on Thursday. And then David Garrard should be with us on Friday. So that's the rest of the week on January.
I want to be a weekly guest next year just so I can finish ahead of Osh.
You know what? You can. We got a day.
Just so I can be one spot ahead of Osher on the list, on the poll.
That's pretty
like
low.
That's going to be hard.
Low bar. Yeah. There, D-Rock. Thank you, buddy. We'll see you. There goes Mike DiRocco for Tony Smith, for Tyler Devitt, and Joe Fortunato. I'm Mike Dempsey. Stick around. Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.